Hi, I'm Willis Kern. Thanks for choosing Sound Money on GLT, and thanks for listening to the Sound Money Podcast.
Support for GLT comes from Justin M. Boyd, financial representative at Country Financial, offering clients a one-on-one experience to meet all of their financial and insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business, and retirement options. More at facebook.com/JustinBoydCountry. This is GLT.
April 15th falls on a Saturday, and this would usually move the filing deadline to the following Monday, April 17th. However, Emancipation Day, a legal holiday in the District of Columbia, will be observed on that Monday, which pushes the nation's filing deadline to Tuesday, April 18th this year. With us to talk about common tax filing errors is Edgar Norton, director of ISU's Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. I'm guessing that one of the big mishaps with filing taxes is just plain old missing the deadline. This year, I guess there's no real excuse, right, Edgar? You got an extra 3 days.
Well, there's always the procrastinator who will ignore it anyway.
Right.
But yeah, you got that extra weekend now, so just aim for the 15th and get it done on time.
And some of the errors, besides just missing the deadline, I would assume that because math is involved, and anytime math is involved with something, it's a recipe for danger, especially with certain people who are not math inclined, me being one of them. So how do you keep from making those math errors?
Well, there is more and more people using the e-file system and tax software, which does all the math all by itself and does it correctly. But a lot of us like to do it by our hand or keying in the numbers. And it's so easy to forget that, oh, I'm supposed to add these numbers together, and instead you subtract them when you should add, or you add when you should subtract. And careless errors like that are common, unfortunately. So, and just the issue of just writing down numbers. I'm writing down from one form to another form. I should write down 1, 2, 3, and instead I flip it, and I write down 1, 3, 2, and I do my math based upon that bad number. So a lot of errors that probably are qualified as careless errors can mess up the tax return in the IRS computers.
So just like when you're cutting a piece of wood, you should, check twice before you cut.
Measure twice, cut once. Eyeball it. And, if you're married there, let the spouse check out the numbers, too. Do a little proofreading on your own there. Make sure the numbers are right.
And then computation errors are something that's common. What's the difference between a math error and a computation error?
A computation error is if you're... Depending upon how complicated your tax return is, you may have to go into the tax booklet and do a little side calculation. Like if you have dividend income, for example, that's taxed at a different rate than your income. And there's a worksheet in the tax booklet that where you have to go through and figure out, okay, what's my tax on my dividends? And just getting confused with that process and thinking it's taxed like income when it is taxed at a lower rate can lead to a problem. And there's other issues with earned income credit and other side calculations that you compute one place in the booklet, and then you put a final number into the tax form. People confuse those. Another issue is there's issues out there or deductions out there that people may not know about, or they forget about. For example, depending upon your income, if you have student loans, you may be able to deduct some of your student loan interest. And so people might gloss over that and realize, hey, you could have cut your taxable income by taking that deduction.
And there are other tax breaks, too, besides student loans that people may fall into. Maybe they're aging into a certain bracket where they get some kind
of
an exemption.
When you hit 65, you get a special deduction, or the kids. You have the child tax credit, and there's college expense deductions. If you're paying a tuition for your child, there's a couple of credits and deductions there you should look into.
Some people get their tax status wrong, and that's something very important because that affects the way your whole deductions are calculated and everything, right?
Indeed. If I got married this year, or let's go back to 2016, if you got married in 2016, okay, you are considered married for the entire year. Some people might think they have to somehow compute their income from when they were single versus when they were married. And no, if you're married on December 31, you're considered married for the entire year. And same thing if there is a divorce in the situation.
Which is why a lot of people like to be, when they have a baby, they like to have the first baby of the year, but oftentimes it's best to have the last baby of the
year. That's right.
You get that calculation for the whole, that deduction for the whole year.
A good tax move is to have that wedding on the beach on December 31 somewhere, and for that child to be born on December the 31st. One thing that sometimes people do get confused about, if you're married and you lose a spouse during the year, you are still considered married for that year. In fact, for the next 2 years, you can file as if you're married filing jointly, even though you are a widow or a widower. And some people might think they have to file single and things like that. No, there's some things you can do to help out that situation.
That's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would just assume that it would apply for the 1 year and then you'd go back to the regular status, but they give you an extra year or two.
They give you 2 years, yeah.
A lot of people probably just need to make adjustments as they go through the process from year to year. In other words, it's easy to sit down and try and do it the same way you did it last year, but that's not always wise, is it?
Indeed. Just copying down the numbers and information from 1 year to the next. Again, your filing status may have changed, but also maybe you picked up a second job or some work where you're not fully comp, where you're not, you don't get a W-2. The W-2 is when you have the federal tax and state tax taken out, and it shows there on the W-2 form what's taken out. But if you're doing things on a freelance basis and you just get a pay, you get a paycheck perhaps, and then they give you something called a 1099. What's that? Well, the 1099 is reported to the IRS, and so yes, you have to report that on your tax form. Make sure you add it on to your income, and make sure that your tax calculation includes that extra income.
And as it goes with just about anything with doing taxes, it's always good to keep these things in mind through the year. As you encounter these instances, they're a lot easier to figure out in February or March or April or whenever you're doing your taxes than it is if you've just forgotten about it all year long.
Indeed. One habit is, if you love spreadsheets and you like the math and all that, is to kind of keep track of that. The money as it comes in, keep track of your tax withholding, keep track of your charitable deductions or real estate taxes, or if you itemize deductions, you know, what other things might fall on that itemized deduction sheet, just so you can kind of keep track of your tax situation throughout the year. And it gives you a heads up, too, if you're over withholding or under withholding, you can try to correct that rather than have to get to April and find out you got to write a big check to the IRS. Nobody likes to do that.
So anything else that we're missing? Any big things, that mistakes that people make that are common that, I know one of them, and we're doing it right now. Check back your work. Make sure you've got everything covered.
Bingo. Make sure, check the numbers. If you're lucky enough to get a refund, it's going into your bank account. Make sure the routing numbers and the account numbers are correct. And don't be over generous with your charitable deductions. You're giving a car to somebody or to a charity. The IRS has some rules there about what you can take off for that car on your charitable deductions. Make sure it's fair market value, not what you think it is, but what the market says that car is
worth. Yeah, a lot of
people
think that they can put down what they paid for an item, but it's really what they could get for it if they sold it, right?
That's right.
That's the basic rule. Getting your taxes filed on time and correctly is important, so make sure you take the time to do it right. Edgar Norton is the director of ISU's Institute for Financial Planning and Analysis. Thanks as always, Edgar.
You're welcome, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.